Hi, Rochelle. I thought it was easier to just make a recording of Origin and rather than trying to write it down, which is always a more problematic part for me. But when I began thinking about the use of the word, I was thinking to actually the first panel that I made in 1996, I think it was, for an exhibition on Iroquois beadwork. And that was the first time that I employed the wampum belt, the Hiawatha wampum belt, as a prototype for the work that I wanted to do on wampum, since I wasn't a beater. And this was a first in terms of transposing the images that I made at that time of monuments with Iroquois figures on them. And what came about was a journey for this belt that actually was finished last year. So it's gone through many iterations from using analog prints, framed, five framed photographs that replicated the wampum belt. And now, when I began working with digital, it made it much easier to make an actual version of the Hiawatha wampum belt as one continual print, which makes a big difference in terms of reading it. So the original began with having monuments that represent each of the five tribes that took the peacemaker's message and led to the unification of the Confederacy. So in the box, you see on the left-hand side a monument of Chief Red Jacket, who was a Seneca. I don't believe he was a chief. I think he was a war chief at the time. So this was around the time of the Revolutionary War. I saw this image of the monument when I was in grade school, and my class made a trip to the Buffalo and Erie County Historical Society. The last stop for our tour was in the gift shop, and on the wall was a framed photograph of the monument with a text that described who it was and where the monument was located. So I was probably maybe, 12 years old at the time, and so I made a journey across the city on my bike to see the monument. When I got to the gates of the Forest Lawn Cemetery, which is where it still stands, I was too afraid to go in. I thought that I would be, they would call the police on me and blah, 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 and I'd end up getting into trouble with my parents, with my father or my grandmother. So I didn't see it. But when I started working on the Cold City Freeze work for the bead exhibition, I went back to Buffalo, and I found it, the monument, and made the first photograph. The second from left is the Maisonneuve Monument in Montreal, the founder of Montreal, and the figure below is titled Iroquois in capital letters, and on each side of him are bas-relief panels that show the various battles that took place in the early days of Montreal, where the French persevered against the attacking Iroquois, and so they're quite violent panels that are with this particular monument. This was another one that I produced in the mid-1970s, or 1990, for the first wampum panel. The one in the center is a plaque, a historical plaque, that's just on the outskirts of Buffalo in one of the suburbs, and it describes that this location was where the Onondaga village existed as a part of the Buffalo Creek Reservation. So it was a pretty significant plaque for me. I found it online, and I was able to track it down and photographed it for this panel as well. The next one is the Joseph Brant Monument in Brantford, Ontario, And it shows Brant at the top looking towards the Grand River with his chief warriors below him. What I found interesting about this is it was made prior to 1885. The official unveiling took place in 1885. And at that particular time, or no, I'm sorry, in 1886. And at that time, the Canadian government invited the Blackfoot people to attend the unveiling because they were deemed not hostile during the Northwest Rebellion. So they were given this trip across Canada by train. They went to Brantford for the unveiling, and then they came to Ottawa for meetings with the Canadian government. So one of the famous images from that time is a photograph of Crowfoot, which is actually what I wanted to add to the panel that we just had made for the Topley exhibition. Topley made a photograph of the chiefs at that time. I'm waiting for a good reproduction of the image from LAC, and if I don't get it in time, what I do have is a file that I can use, and I want to add it to the Topley panel because they're all tied together, you know, with the resistance movement, with the Cree, and with the unfolding of more restrictions on Indigenous people in the wake of 1885, the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad. So it's quite a significant period of time, but Joseph Brant, with this very elaborate monument, was also deemed a peaceful chief in terms of assimilation and uniting with the people that were coming from the United States who had sided with the British during the Revolutionary War. When you look at Joseph Brant and Red Jacket, they were two proponents of very different directions for the Confederacy in post-revolutionary times. The Buffalo Creek Reservation was an addition to the Seneca reservations, and what happened at that time is that the people who had lost their homelands during the Revolutionary War migrated to the Buffalo Creek Reservation, and it was there that Joseph Brant and Red Jacket had they had a lot of battles in terms of deciding if the Iroquois would stay in New York State as Red Jacket wanted, or if they would go to the Grand River and take up residence at the Haldimand Track as Joseph Brant wanted to do. And in fact, what happened was that the Confederacy was split in two at that time. So there were two council players that took place. There was one in Canada and one in the United States. And the last one is, I don't remember the name of the monument offhand, but it was from that revolutionary period as well. This was photographed in Pittsburgh, Ohio, and it shows negotiations between an Iroquois figure and an American figure at that time. So it was the completion of the wampum belt, Cold City Freeze. It took a couple of years before I actually found the last image, which would in fact represent the territory of the Mohawk previous to the Revolutionary War. What I was able to do when I digitized the image was to add, as you see on the far left outside of the original border of Cold City Freeze, is the namesake for this, and that's Captain Cold, who was an Onondaga, who also migrated to Buffalo Creek. He was given land there, and he was the wampum keeper in the 1830s at that time. So he held quite a high position. And I found the painting of him online and added it to the panel. The photograph on the far right with me holding a cob of corn is representative of what took place during the Revolutionary War when General Sullivan, an American, attacked the Iroquois still in New York State, and they burned all of the surplus corn that the people had at that time. And so there was starvation during that period of time. And once again, a lot of the people that arrived at Buffalo Creek were suffering from starvation. It was a very harsh winter that year. So in all, the image now is called Cold City Freeze Treaty. And that's in recognition of what I was trying to convey with this work, of the urban Iroquois experience that has been such an important part of my work. And by transposing the images, you look at the original Hiawatha wampum belt, and it has five squares that represent each nation connected by a white line that is supposed to represent the trail leading to the Confederacy of any people who want to seek sanctuary within the Confederacy. So my transposition of those images is the result of conversations I had with my elder, Emily General, when I asked her about the that history and about being an urban and the questions that were circulating in my mind since I was a young kid about my identity and its authenticity. This idea or concept of treaty came about in terms of the fact that I grew up in Buffalo, and when I found out about Red Jacket, I also found out that we were living on the former Buffalo Creek Reservation. The city downtown area of Buffalo is really right on the periphery of the original tract of land that is Buffalo Creek, but there still were connections within the city in the 1830s and 40s as Buffalo began to develop, where people would come from Buffalo Creek into the city of Buffalo come in for treaty annuities and things like that. So I could imagine my ancestors walking along the place where there are now streets and concrete buildings. It was a significant time for me. And it comes back to what I learned from my elder. And when she told me when I was a teenager about telling my story someday, she said that I'll tell my story, not their story, which I came to understand that I was talking about my relationship with the city and with my cultural identity as well. And so this wampum belt, Cold City Freeze, began to take shape in terms of representing how I was beginning to use my practice as a photo-based storyteller to define what I felt was important in terms of how do we negotiate the sense of self within the borders of a city that has no actual representation for indigenous people. I used Freeze, F-R-I-E-Z-E, to represent the freeze that is above the back of the Buffalo City Hall that is in five panels, and it shows the early days from Red Jacket signing the treaty to sell the land and that, and how Buffalo began to progress from that time. So that's where Freeze came from. And, of course, Cold came from Captain Cold, and then City is my representation of my sense of self. And there's another work that I have that I will include that shows my epiphany that took place when I came back from a visit to the reserve with my grandmother and listening to my elder tell stories. And at one point, she said that when she said that Jeff will tell his story someday, I came back, I sat on the steps of Public School 19, which you'll see now has a flag, or did in the 2001, of the Hiawatha Wampum Belt, which is kind of like this thing coming full circle this journey of mine coming full circle. Now it was called a Native American magnet school. But when I was there on this particular night, I sat on the steps, and what kept going through my mind was, who are you? And remember, everything that you see, feel, and hear, that you smell, because this will define who you are. And along with what I saw that night and what I remember of sitting on the steps and this going through my head repeatedly was also what I was learning from my elder Emily General at the reserve, which was the importance of knowing our history and not forgetting who we are, where we come from, and also, too, what Emily taught me when I was a teenager. So this all came full circle with this particular body of work, and this Cold City Freeze was actually the first panel that took place. So that's the story behind this Wampum Belt, and when I was thinking about origins, I was thinking about this particular work and how important it was to me to entrench in my mind what I had to do with my life. And from there, everything else began to evolve. It was also my origin story. I had studied a lot, learned a lot about origins of ceremonies, of dances, of people, the European invasion of Turtle Island, all of these things that I was learning about. And it was, and when I sat in Longhouse, I used to think about, well, where did that song come from? How old is it? And things like that. And I thought to myself, you know, I was looking at paintings of Carl Bodmer, photographs by Edward Curtis and that, George Catlin, Paul Kane. I wanted to produce my own journey. I wanted to be the author of what I undertook in order to bring to light, in fact, a form of resistance. Emily was a resistance fighter in her day for land rights at Six Nations. My task was to find my own battleground. And so this is what happened with the visual arts, is that it became a contested place that I saw, and through my research began to see the value of using historical imagery to tell my story and to reverse that trend. And of course, this all kind of coalesced with the first bear portrait in 1984, when I realized that I could no longer just be an observer, that I had to intervene, that I had to begin collecting stories for my own story. And that the real emphasis was on the stories that I didn't learn from my father or my grandfather, who passed away just before I was born. My other grandfather, I didn't know who he was until much later in life. But nonetheless, it was all revolving around my relationship with Bear and breaking that negative cycle of alcoholism, of using your Indianness as a way to become popular with white people, and so many other things that have evolved. But this is all encased in this panel. And, of course, the stories that I want to tell for each panel begin here. So this is the first dream panel that I will make an audio for, and probably write a text so that it comes out a little bit more in sync, but that's it for now.